Jesus, give thanks to you this morning. We gather here to study your word, and we pray that your word that is divine, that your words would touch us and speak to us, help us to understand, help us to apply your scripture into our lives so that we can align with your will, and that your word would also transform our lives. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, so today we will be reading from Exodus chapter 7. All right. Exodus 7. And so this is when all right, let's just read. Exodus 7. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I make you as God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall speak to Pharaoh that he let the sons of Israel go out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that I may multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. When Pharaoh does not listen to you, then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring out my hosts, my people, the sons of Israel, from the land of Egypt by great judgments. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the sons of Israel from their midst." So Moses and Aaron did it as the Lord commanded them. Thus they did. Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83, when they spoke to Pharaoh. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "When Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, 'Work a miracle,' then you shall say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, that it may become a serpent.' So Moses and Aaron came to Pharaoh, and thus they did just as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron threw his staff down before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called for the wise men and the sorcerers, and they also, the magicians of Egypt, did the same with their secret arts. For each one threw down his staff, and they turned into serpents. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Pharaoh's heart is stubborn. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he is going out to the water, and station yourself to meet him on the bank of the Nile. And you shall take in your hand the staff that was turned into a serpent. You shall say to him, "The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, sent me to you, saying, "Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But behold, you have not listened until now. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the water that is in the Nile with the staff that is in my hand, and it will be turned to blood. The fish that are in the Nile will die, and the Nile will become foul, and the Egyptians will find difficulty in drinking water from the Nile." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their rivers, over their streams, and over their pools, and over all the reservoirs of water, that they may become blood. And there will be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and vessels of stone.' So Moses and Aaron did even as the Lord had commanded, and he lifted up the staff and struck the waters that was in the Nile in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the water that was in the Nile was turned to blood. The fish that were in the Nile died, and the Nile became foul so that the Egyptians could not drink water from the Nile, and the blood was through all the land of Egypt. But the magicians of Egypt did the same with their secret arts. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then Pharaoh turned and went into his house with no concern even for this. So all the Egyptians dug around the Nile for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the Nile. 7 days passed after the Lord had struck the Nile." Amen. Okay. So this is the battle, right? This is the battle between God and Pharaoh. And just a little bit of understanding and context for the Egyptians, and I would say even Pharaoh is not being completely unreasonable, right? Because he doesn't know who Yahweh is, right? The Lord. He doesn't know who God is. And so what their culture is, they are a polytheistic culture. So what they believe in and are accustomed to is they believe in multiple gods. You can have many gods, poly, right? Poly is many. So you can have many gods. And the other thing they are is they are, it's called pantheistic. And so that means everything is God. So whatever you see, everything is made up of God, which is like, you know, the sun is God. Nature is God. The leaves is God. And so when you put that together, everything, there's many gods, everything is God. And what they're accustomed to is they can see God, right? So it's like, you know, they see that they see the sun, ah, that's God. I see, you know, a tree, that's God. It's something that they can see. They can kind of feel through their senses the heat from the sun, right? You can touch a tree. And so now, out of nowhere, Moses comes along and says, oh, this is the one true God. And you can't see him. There's only one. So it's completely different from what Pharaoh has been, you know, raised to be and accustomed to. And in fact, not only that, but Pharaoh is, he's been raised to think also that he is God. And so in Egyptian culture, the Pharaoh was seen as a god as well. So suddenly Moses comes on the scene and shares, no, that's not true. There's this one true God. And so how Pharaoh is responding is not completely unreasonable. In verse 2, Moses is instructed by God. And, you know, he's already expressed all these insecurities before. Oh, I can't do it because of these reasons. There's all these questions. I don't know how to answer. In fact, I can't even speak very well. So all these insecurities. And God says, you shall speak all that I command you. I know. Seems so simple. This is all you got to do. Just say what I say and do what I do. And, you know, we need to follow that as well as Christians, right? We need to just follow the will of God. Don't add any more and don't take away from it, especially when it comes to the word. But also, if God speaks to you or if you have a prophetic word for somebody, don't add to it. I know, like, because we, sometimes I feel like in my house church, when we do like prophetic, like we're praying for someone and hearing God's voice, I feel like sometimes people, they really want to like be able to interpret the word well, right? And then when they share the interpretation, I mean, we want to ask for that. But sometimes I feel like, did they really hear that? I mean, maybe that's wrong of me to think of that. But I do stress as well. Hey, if all you have is this word, don't add any more, add any less. Ask God, if you feel like God is speaking to you, but don't in the moment say, you know, oh, maybe it could be, or maybe this, or maybe that, try to figure it out. Because I've experienced where God just, you don't understand it, you share it, and that's even better. I remember one time, this is on a mission trip, and Tom Choi, yeah, we were praying for this girl in Cambodia, and he had like, he said, for some reason, all he said was, I just saw a picture, and I don't know what it means, I asked, but all I see is a balloon. That's it. That's all he got. And then when the girl heard it, she just started crying, and I'm like, that was, what? So it turns out why the balloon, just that picture was so significant is because the favorite thing that she loves are balloons. And in fact, she has like a, was it? A scooter. Not like kiddie scooter, but like the moped type scooter. And in fact, like even then, she had like a balloon that was tied to her scooter. That's how much she loved it. And so when all he said is, I just felt like God showed me a picture of a balloon. She was like, oh my gosh, God, you're so real, right? If he tried to interpret, oh, I feel like balloon could mean that you're so happy, and that would have actually taken away from it and ruined it. So we need, just like as Moses, to just do what God commands, right? Keep it faithful, keep it. And then in verse 3, God says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. And so, in the Hebrew, two things happen here. One is Pharaoh's heart, it says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. But it also says that Pharaoh will harden his own heart. And in the Hebrew, the words for harden in both cases are different. So in the case of Pharaoh hardening his own heart, he made a decision based on what the circumstances are, and he decided not to agree with Moses. And thus, he hardened his heart. He decided, no, I'm not going to do what you said and allow the Israelites to go and worship. Take a few days out to worship. And as for God hardening Pharaoh's heart in the Hebrew, it doesn't mean he forced Pharaoh to disagree, right? It says, actually, the word means to fortify. So Pharaoh already felt and made a decision with his own free will to harden his heart based on these circumstances. And God simply fortified, strengthened what he already felt. Okay? And then in verse 7, it says, Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. Right? You could say at 80, they were just about to start in the most important moment of their life. And so don't let age limit ourselves. And it seems like in the Bible, whenever significant, I guess, characters were about to do something, their age would be listed. So just to share, Joseph was 30 when he became the viceroy, so when he became the prime minister of Egypt. Abraham was 86 when he had his first child, Ishmael. Abraham was 99 when he was circumcised. So you can see, some even older. And even 1 Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, let no one look down on your youthfulness. Because Timothy was a young, like 20-year-old, 20s, man in his 20s. And so quite naturally, I mean, apparent in culture even today, and historically, is older people would look down on younger people, think they're not experienced enough, not wise enough. And so don't let your age, whether you think you're too old or too young, limit yourself, because it's not really based on what you're capable of anyway. It's God's capability. Can God use you? And all it takes, I mean, going back to earlier statement, is you just speak all that I command you, right? I think at almost any age, maybe except for like a little toddler, but even then, right, all we have to do is just be obedient. Hear the voice of God, follow his commands, and obey, and God can use you to do something mighty. And so they get to this point, and it's the challenge, right? And it says, Pharaoh speaks in response to Moses' request, and says, work a miracle. Work a miracle. Basically, he's saying, hey, prove it. Prove that what you're saying is true. And so the first miracle is, and the challenge is the snake, right? And he throws the snake, it becomes stiff, he picks it back up, and it becomes, turns back, no, It's already stiff. Sorry. It's already as a staff. He throws it down. It becomes a snake. And when he picks it back up, it's a staff again. And it says the magicians did the same thing. And apparently even historically in Egyptian hieroglyphics, and even it's a practice done now, that they describe this, what the magicians did. Right? And apparently there's some place on a snake, like, I guess around its head and neck, if you press it or do something, it actually turns stiff. Right? And so it's exactly what they describe. So imagine like they're doing their, this is like, I guess, magic, sleight of hand, doing something to deceive. And so they take the snake, hold it in a certain way, so it already looks stiff, throw it down, it becomes, I guess, I don't know what the word, wobbly, and picks it back up, and it's stiff again. So these things can happen. But these are a counterfeit of what was really happening and what God did, which was a miracle. And not only that, but then Aaron's staff swallows up the magician's staff. And I don't see the magicians doing the same thing, right? So if they're really matching it, they should have taken out more snakes, thrown on the ground, and then eaten Moses' staff. But they didn't do that. But still, it wasn't convincing enough to Pharaoh. And finally, we get to the next miracle, which is the Nile River being turned into blood. And so this is the first of 10 plagues. Why 10? Some people have tried to make parallels to the 10 plagues, to the 10 commandments, right? Maybe it's the 10 plagues are 10 curses. The 10 commandments are, you know, I guess you could say 10 blessings that to really guide your life. I don't know. Or maybe 10 is just a good number. So we always list things in 10. It's easy to remember. Not sure about that significance, but 10 and 10. And God, again, in verse 17, he says, "By this you shall know I am the Lord." And so the whole point of what Moses is doing is to prove to God. No, it's to prove that God is God and who he is to Moses. It's to reveal to the Israelites, like through this, I guess, these 10 plagues, that God is going to bring, God is the God of salvation for them. And to the Egyptians, he's going to be a God of judgment, right? All right, so verse 20, Moses turns the Nile to blood. And so it says that God instructs him to meet Pharaoh by the Nile. So why was he going to the Nile? So it would be customary during the summer months that they would go to the Nile, Pharaoh, and they would go there to worship. And so remember I said it's a pantheistic culture. And so they believed that the Nile was a god. And at that time, the name of the Nile god, there are several, but one of the significant ones, the name was Happy, H-A-P-I. And so they would be responsible. Obviously, the Nile represented, you know, fertility, agriculture. And in fact, their sun god called Osiris, the Nile was called the lifeblood of Osiris. And so Pharaoh and his, I guess the people in charge, would go down to bring to thanksgiving and worship to the Nile River. And that's when Moses went and he did what he did, right? And so the Nile River was something that was so significant, right? It was their drinking water. It was the water that led, like canals that would lead all over. It would be for crops, right? At that time, basically, that's why drought was so significant. If it rained a lot, right, the Nile River would be full, and then you have a bountiful year and thus prosperity. If you don't have that, like, then how do your crops grow? How do you drink water? How do the animals survive? So it's very dependent on the Nile River. And so Moses touches his staff on the Nile River and turns it to blood. And so the blood, what it does, I mean, it stinks. I mean, we don't, probably most of us don't know this, but, you know, I guess blood is organic. So over time, bacteria is going to stink. Everything living in the Nile River, it dies. And it's just really unpleasant. And you would think, I'm just thinking, if the magicians really wanted to counter this miracle, and I think this is where, like, Pharaoh was blinded, right, and hardened his heart. You would think to counter this miracle of the Nile turning into blood, what the magicians would have done is unturned it into blood, right? Wouldn't that make sense? That would show, oh, see, our God is just as powerful. But they didn't do that. Instead, what did they do? Well, notice, he touched the Nile River, so the entire Nile is already blood. So are they going to turn the Nile again into blood? No. So what they did was, there were still, it says later, that they were very inconvenienced by this situation, so the Egyptians had to dig out little, like, holes where there was fresh water, right? So I guess my presumption is these magicians found these little other small bodies of water, and they were able to replicate this crazy miracle, because the Nile is one of the major rivers in the world, longest apparently in the world, and they did it with this little pool of water, and then Pharaoh was convinced. Definitely something wrong with the way Pharaoh is perceiving things, right? For some reason, he still thinks they're equal. And so it's kind of interesting, right? It's almost like God was saying, you love this, you worship this Nile River, you love your gods, you know? Well, I'm going to turn this Nile River into something that stinks, right? Because it said it started to smell, right? And he's showing them that this Nile River and all these gods that you worship, right, and through these 10 plagues, they're not what's gonna sustain you. It's not gonna give you life. And it's interesting, because in John chapter 4, verse 13, this is what Jesus said. He says, and I want to contrast this to the Nile River, which is water. It says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. And so he's talking to the Samaritan woman at the well, and he asked her for a drink of water. And he says to her, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And so, Jesus, Moses, and God, they have this situation with Pharaoh. And in this moment, saying, this water, this Nile River that you're so dependent on, it stinks. And Jesus addresses the Samaritan woman in the same way. You want something even better than this earthly water that you think is so important in this hot, hot summer day. What I can offer you and what you really need is living water. I want to invite Ching Ching to lead us in worship. Yeah, so I just want to end on just the idea of what the Nile River can represent, what the woman at the well with this, you know, as Jesus asked her for the water. Let us not forget where we get our source from. The Nile River was not what was going to sustain the Egyptians, the water at the well was not what was going to sustain the Samaritan woman. And you can take a minute to just consider, what have you been so reliant on to sustain you? Has it been your wealth? Has it been money? Has it been your desire to impress people? Has it been your status in what you do? Has it been little things? Could it be entertainment, Netflix, Disney Plus, video games? All these things, nothing wrong, but what is it that you are really dependent on? What is it that really satisfies you? In Matthew 11, it says, this is the invitation. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is comfortable and my burden is light. That's the invitation. When we're feeling dissatisfied, when we're feeling burdened, the invitation is to come to the source. Receive living water. And just with the, you know, Paul has instructed us to be continually filled with this living water, the Holy Spirit, that you would drink of it. So let's go to the source. Let's drink from the well that is the Holy Spirit. And let's be filled by Him right now. As we worship, let's just connect and allow ourselves to be filled and to come into agreement with God.
Forever grateful for rise like you do.
That you're the one who satisfies us the most, and when we've experienced that, where we can put our trust in you, where we feel such peace that we are not, and freedom that we don't have to take control of our own lives, but we can trust you with our lives and trust you with also our the people that we love, Lord, it really does, it frees us. And oftentimes, forgive us, Lord, that we take matters into our own hands. And we see that relying on our impulses, our flesh, it doesn't bring us satisfaction. In fact, it brings us greater dissatisfaction. And so help us, Lord, if we're in that place where we're so reliant on ourselves and our flesh, would you help us to come out of that, draw us near to you, and that we would just experience and taste the freedom and enjoyment when we are yoked to you, Lord, and you help us and walk with us to carry those heavy burdens. For your burden is light. In Jesus' name. Let's pray. Let's turn to the screens. Let's cover our community. Let's pray for those who are going through cancer and dealing with the cancer through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Also pray for the list, those suffering from illness, as well as who are in need of word of salvation. Pray for the healing that God would speak to them. Also pray for those who are suffering from infirmities. Let's also pray for those looking for jobs. Let's pray for open doors, for productive times. Wednesday prayers. Start with our missions. Let's cover China. Let's cover SP Beijing, SP Shanghai, and the Chongs. And just all the churches as well. Within the board, that Holy Spirit would lead them. Let's pray for the fellowship. Let's cover the young adults Bible study that's happening not today, but every other Wednesday. Let's pray for the men's ministry and Monday lunchtime prayer, Pure Desire. Let's also pray for the women's ministry, and they have their Tuesday lunchtime prayer as well as Oasis. SP 2.0, our next building move. Let's pray for the building and resources, the benefactor, and also Vision Fund. Let's pray pray for the pregnancies. Let's pray for Viv, Catherine, Kathleen, Eunice. Mon's actually already given birth, so, and she's doing well. Let's also cover Yiling, Jade, and others. Let's also pray for EHS, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, as they are meeting tonight. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit moves, brings revelation and awareness into their lives. Circumstances. Let's just cover our country. Thank you, Lord, for this day and today's scripture. I just pray that we would always go to you, our source, that we would be completely obedient to you and in your word. We wouldn't do more or do less, but we would just follow you, God, and you would direct our footsteps. That we would trust in you, Lord. Trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not on our own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make our path straight, Lord. And so we just want to trust you, and we know that you will make our paths straight, Lord. And so just be with us today. Just bless. Bless everyone who's tuned in or here. I pray that they would be so aware of your presence, so aware of your leading and promptings, God, and be able to discern your will. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, everyone. Have a great day.